The 48th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 48th Gene Key moves from inadequacy to wisdom, and it's the path of resourcefulness. Wisdom. Wisdom is rooted in not knowing. That's the one-liner I want to begin and end this contemplation with. And not knowing as a shadow pattern is very different from not knowing as a gift, or not knowing as mastery. As a shadow pattern, not knowing is experienced as inadequacy, the belief that we can't cope, or the fear that one may fail or falter. And this is a very human fear, a very understandable trait that we humans often experience when facing the unknown. This then is a very deep fear key, this shadow. And whoever has this in their profile or as a living contemplation, you know, you'll have to face some very deep fears. One of my favourite places to travel is the Highlands of Scotland. And I used to live up there in a small mountain cottage, what the locals call a sheiling or a croft. And I would often go out from my croft, which was halfway up a remote Scottish glen, a valley. And I would run through the forests, and sometimes barefoot, as the earth there is just so soft and yielding. And I loved above all this waterfall in the forest. And you'd climb up the side of the waterfall and there was this little pool at the top, quite deep. And then the water would plunge off this pool some 60 metres down to a huge pool at the bottom. And one of my dares was to jump into this upper pool. It was a jump of about 10 metres or something. And it was dark and deep and you couldn't see the bottom and it was cold. You know, it's the kind of cold that really brings up your fears. And one winter, I decided to go out at night into the forest, and I reached my pool, and I stood on the edge, and I stared down into the blackness. And some kind of insane impulse within just dared me to jump into that void. So I took off all my clothes in that cold night, and I stood there on the edge of life, and that's how it felt to me. And fear or terror just kind of grabbed me like a kind of rictus. You know, it was illogical, elemental fear, kind of ancient fear. And I stood there just quivering with the freezing cold and this fear, my mind kind of wrangling with the terror. And at a certain point, the jump just happened, you know. I didn't do it, it just happened. And it was one of the most exhilarating things I've ever done. You know, I was alone up in the wilderness, but this great whoop just tore through me, one of Walt Whitman's famous barbaric yawps. You know, what a feeling. But this is the fear of the 48th shadow. And your life will always bring you to this fear if you have the courage to face it. And we have to face it. There's no choice because it's the fear of our annihilation. But when you do face it, a great energy will come through you and you'll never have to face it in the same way again. And you needn't go looking for it either. It'll come and find you when you're ready. In fact, it'll come and find you when you're not ready. You know, perhaps the fear will find you through a relationship when someone dies or leaves, or perhaps through a teacher or a circumstance that just tests you to the limits. No one knows how or when these things will occur, but they're the defining moments in our lives. So let me reassure you and myself that there is actually nothing to fear. And this hexagram, this gene key, consists of two trigrams, two symbols. And one is called the abysmal, the abyss, and the other is called the gentle. And I think that's a beautiful paradox. Go gently into the abyss. The abyss will treat you with gentleness. You know, and the elements connected to this are wind and water, or wood and water sometimes. And this is why the ancients called this gene key the well. And some think it's because the wooden bucket brings the water up from the well. But in fact, the old buckets in ancient China, where this teachings came from, were made of clay. So the wood is really referring to the supports in the well that guide the bucket up. So we also have this inner support system when we relax and find that place of gentleness and depth within us. And one of the problems that we create for ourselves in life is tension. You know, we've learned tension and we've unlearned gentleness. Think about children. Children are gentle. But as we grow, we unlearn that pliancy and that softness. Some of us may retain it, but it's pretty rare. So be gentle with yourself. And in ancient Chinese medicine, you know, the seat of fear, it's in the kidneys. But the kidneys are also where you find the virtue of gentleness. You know, inadequacy is actually a choice. You know, to believe that you're inadequate is to allow yourself to become a victim of your fear of the unknown. And you truly don't want to give that power of yours away like that. And here in this gene key lies the antidote to fear. Gentleness. Always remember that. Gentleness. And one final insight from this 48th shadow. This gene key governs our developmental cycle from the age of 8 to 14. And this is a stage of massive growth as we move through puberty. It's the stage when the golden child finally leaves Eden and crosses the Rubicon of innocence, never to return. And what this means is that there's a very challenging passage we have to go through in this cycle, and it always concerns our emotional life. So this 7-year cycle dictates the growth and the development of our emotional life. And we become emotionally imprinted by whatever happens to us during this phase between 8 and 14. And there's always some great emotional trial that we face. And it's kind of written into our dharma, into our destiny. But whatever it was for you, it doesn't have to dictate the rest of your life. You know, you'll have to face the root fear and you'll have to disentangle it inside yourself. Your relationships will show you that. It will always involve your ability to love both others and yourself. So if you have this gene key, give yourself the gift of looking into the Venus sequence. You know, it's a contemplative journey using the gene keys that allows you to understand what happened to you during that difficult period in your life when you were young. And it will help you transform what sometimes seems to be a curse that dogs all your relationships, but it will transform that into a blessing. In fact, you don't even have to have this gene key in your profile. If you resonate with what I'm saying, just look into the Venus sequence. And this is one of the very few times I've ever used, you know, one of my contemplations to recommend such a thing. But through this gene key, if you're contemplating it, if you've come to it, then I would really say that that's an essential path for you. The 48th gift, resourcefulness. Out of the well, out of the emotional depths of our psyche, comes forth all manner of fruits. What a beauty you are when this 48th gift transmutes the fear. What things you can achieve in life. How sought after you might become. So don't ask what you might do, but ask what can't you do? You can do anything you put your heart into, anything that you feel passionate about, anything that has a practical impact on improving some part of the world, of elevating some part of society. If you've been given the gift of resourcefulness, then it's for a good reason. You'll require it. The 48th gene key lies at the heart of the ring of matter codon group. And this is about impacting the material realm. It's about bringing resources to people. It's about connecting others with their own depth. Or it's about helping them find whatever is missing from their lives, whatever brings them into balance. The 48th gift is also good with money. You may be surprised to hear that. But of course, it must be, since it's about inexhaustible wealth. You know, deep within the form, within the atomic structure of life, of matter, lies all this untapped energy. And the 48th gift knows how to release it. You can apply this to any sphere of life. You know, there's always been those in the world who see things, who know things. They don't know how they know. That's the nature of not knowing. But they can use this gift to their advantage and to the advantage of others. And it's a felt gift. It's an intuitive gift. It's almost a magical gift. If it's channeled into service, it even increases. Whereas if it's used only for one's own benefit, it will eventually dry up. You know, there is such a thing as natural wisdom. And natural wisdom is rooted in common sense. But more than that, it's rooted in a connection with the natural world. And this is a gift that therefore needs to be outside often, under the sky, in the woods, by the ocean, in the ocean, connecting in with the source of its power. And the 48th gene key, you know, lost behind a computer screen, there's nothing sadder. God weeps to see such things. With so much potential to connect people, things, animals, plants, what a waste. So be careful with this gene key not to squander the goose with the golden eggs. This is a gene key that can hit many health problems if it isn't out sharing its gift of resourcefulness. And it doesn't mean, by the way, that you're some kind of social natural. You may be or you may not be, but it does mean that you need to stay connected to the earth. With the 48th gift, the gift is in what you don't know. Always remember that. Others are defined by what they know, but you alone are defined by your willingness to approach the unknown with confidence and with openness and with a sense of adventure. And from this open space, you then become a field through which knowing arises of its own accord. And this can become blissfulness for you and an inspiration for others. How did you know that? People will say. And you don't know. But that's okay. It's simply how it is. It also means that you need to keep moving. You may not succeed at the same thing twice because your gift is with the unknown, not with the known. So be wary of repetition. If you decide to bake the same cake again, do it differently. Don't try to repeat what you did before because it won't work. Of all the gene keys, this is the one with depth. It's the deepest. It's the most yin, along with the second gene key. And here we find the true place of the goddess. Not some frilly dancer in a white frock with her arms open. The goddess. The goddess. The unknown. The unknowable. The eternally abundant. Infinitely unpredictable. The mystery of mysteries. Woman. You know, this gene key is all woman. And if you're a man, don't fret. This gift is the gift of appreciation of the ways of woman. You may love woman more than any woman can. You may see the nature of the feminine more clearly than any woman can. And if you are a woman, you're here to embody those qualities of womanliness. Above all, gentleness and the unfathomable, the wind and the water. You know, the future healing of the world will come out of the feminine, not from women, but from the feminine, the honouring of the feminine. This means the love of curves, the love of slowness, the love of the subtle and the supple. You know, there's not an ounce of showiness or ego in woman, not in true woman. There's only the smile, like the smile of Mona Lisa. You know, people have wondered for hundreds of years about that smile. There is no reason for that smile. It's the smile of the yin. The smile of knowing that all is held within the lap of the divine, that it's surrendered and accepting of everything, that can be passionate and on fire, but knows the greatest power lies in stillness and in water. Resourcefulness, thy name is woman. The 48th city, wisdom. And so we come to the city of wisdom. Perhaps you've felt this city as you've explored the gene keys a little. You know, wisdom is not the same as knowledge, not even a bit. They are diametrically opposed. Knowledge comes from knowing, and wisdom comes from not knowing. It comes from innocence. Similar to revelation, wisdom wells up. Revelation floods, and wisdom wells up. And it wells up gently from beneath the waves. It requires deep unlearning of knowledge. It requires a radical valour. 21st City here is the programming partner. To let go of what's come before and to be that open, that naked and that vulnerable. Wisdom lies between the words, between the concepts. It's older than the mind. It may be reached through the mind, like sunlight through a prism, but it doesn't attach itself anywhere. It emerges spontaneously right from the heart of creation. Wisdom is alive. It's hard to explain this to people with a strong mental polarity in life. Wisdom is alive. It's intelligent. It's in our DNA. Our body contains great wisdom. The sun contains vast wisdom. You know, whenever I'm challenged by a masculine mindset, by someone with a greater intellect than mine, I think of the sun. The sun is inexhaustible in its intelligence. It's always been seen as a masculine principle, but it also has this feminine aspect, like all living wisdom. You know, and it draws its energy and its light from the darkness of deep space. And thus wisdom comes into the world. It's perennial. Many teachers have carried it. Many non-teachers have carried it. It comes to roost inside certain people. Regardless of your gene keys, it will alight on you if it's your karma to have it do so. You know, the gene keys are a living wisdom, a terma, a treasure, a transmission of light refracted through word and shape and concept and person. But the wisdom is simply using us as its hosts. The words are its host. I am its host. You may be its host. But you know, after all this is gone, after you and I are gone and the gene keys are gone, the wisdom remains. It's the only thing in the universe that will survive the end of the universe. The only thing that survives death is death. I know that's kind of deep, but what it really means is that unless you can become empty like this, you just can't realize your eternal nature. So, wisdom, it's something that you can't grasp. It will elude you like a slippery fish. And if you make it into knowledge, it's no longer wisdom. It'll have become ossified. It will only have limited use. You know, wisdom is endlessly useful. We speak about pearls of wisdom, and that's what they are, endlessly dripping from the heavens. And the beauty of wisdom is its very ephemeral nature, because it detonates like soap bubbles. It can't be trapped, it can't be caught, it can't be materialized. This is the ring of matter, but its greatest secret is that it's not permanent. Nothing material lasts. It can't last. Wisdom emanates from everything, from the very smallest things. A snail has more wisdom than the greatest logical mind, you know? And this is why wisdom has long been the domain of women, of the wise ones, because the woman brings the child into the world. She alone knows the mystery of birth, of something coming from nothing. And you can study this as a man, but you can't experience it. You can't really know what it means. And this is not to say that man can't be wise. You'll notice that most of the masters throughout history are in fact male. But there are two reasons for this. Firstly, because the feminine pole can be developed within the male in a way that makes it very visible and very easy to understand. You know, this is not knowing, shining through knowing. And the second reason is that the female masters are not really masters. They're usually mothers or grandmothers. And so their responsibility, and this is in the history, has always been to bring masters into the world and therefore to remain hidden because of that. And of course, there have been many great women masters, known and unknown, throughout history, and there remain many in the world today, I'm sure. And you don't even have to give birth. If you're born a woman, then the transmission of wisdom is latent within you, within your aura. You know, until I met my wife, I never wrote anything. You know, and my wife is a 48th gene key. That's her purpose. You know, and the gene keys didn't come. They couldn't come. The future of wisdom, therefore, is it's not only with the women. It's with the male and female working together. And this is where the transmission of wisdom is now seeking to come through, in the magical exchange, in the fluidic emanations that lie between the male and the female poles. Wow, we live in fascinating times, you know, when the wisdom termas, the wisdom streams, are seeking synthesis. You know, they're seeking partners with a yin and a yang pole to manifest through. And that's the future of our coming awareness. You know, the yin-yang master, the collective awareness that's coming. And it means that we need to take deep responsibility for our emotional cleanness. And we have to have the deep patience and the love to stay in a relationship and allow the living wisdom to give birth to itself, while you take the background role, you know, to the wisdom. But to do that, both partners have to surrender their agendas and let go of what they think they know, because wisdom, as we've now seen, is rooted and will always remain rooted in not knowing.